Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They'll send two near side. Tompkins and Hamilton, far side. It's Godwin. Barkley to the right. Back goes McSorley. Steps up in the pocket. Delivers. He's got Hamilton. First down, 35. Spun down inside the 35 for a first down at the Wisconsin 33-yard line. Back goes McSorley with some time, waits, delivers long and deep downfield for Gesicki in the end zone, reaches up, he's there, he's got a touchdown, Penn State, and the Nittany Lions respond.
Second and 10, their own 25, trips near side. It's going to be Barkley, shoots through 30, 35, Barkley to the 40, over the 40 and taken down at the 43-yard line, first down Penn State. Back goes McSorley. Delivers far side. Blackwell breaks away to the 30. Far side 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Play action fake. Back goes McSorley. Long and deep. He's got Blackwell down the middle. He's got it at the 32. Far side 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions open the second half with a bang. Penn State shows blitz, they bring it. Here comes Bell, fumbles the football on the turf, still loose. Wisconsin jumps on it back at the 23-yard line, and the Nittany Lions sold out on the blitz. McSorley, motion by Gesicki. Gives it to Barkley, left side, Saquon Barkley, touchdown, Penn State. Back to pass, McSorley steps up in the pocket, delivers deep downfield for Hamilton, adjusts, he's got it inside the 45 and down to the Wisconsin 42-yard line, first down, Penn State. McSorley takes it back, they run a blitz, down the middle for Godwin, he goes to the end zone, he's got Barkley, touchdown, Penn State on the wheel route, the Nittany Lions take their first lead of the night. Snap right there. Put down by Gould. Kick is up by Davis. The kick by Tyler Davis is good. Nittany Lions lead at 38-31 with 5:14 to play in the fourth quarter. Ramish the fullback. They turn. It's Clement. Right side and buried. It's close. It's all spot. I don't know if he got it. They're going to put it down. They're going to take a look. And they're going to measure.
Well, he went for a measurement.
They're going to stretch it out. The Big Ten Championship lies on a measurement.
Penn State football with 1:01 to go. And now you can see the finish line.
So here they are. They line up now on fourth down. Takes the snap. Runs back. He slides down. It's over. They brought back the fun. They brought back the excitement. And now they brought back a Big Ten championship. The Penn State Nittany Lions are Big Ten champions.
I want to thank the Penn State Nation that has been with us from the beginning to the end. There is nothing like our Penn State fans, alumni, and Letterman. You are the best.
And California, here we come. Great to be with you on this Monday. Great to have Sean back.
Awesome to be back, sir. Enjoyed some downtime last week, and we enjoyed a phenomenal ball game on Saturday night.
That was phenomenal. That is, it's a championship game. It is different than winning the conference championship where you win a game and take for example, like the Eastern Division Championship was great. They win the Eastern Division Championship. Well, that's the way you used to win the Big Ten Championship, by beating everybody else. And, okay, you win. All right, I got it.
I love the conversation that you and Raj and Jack and Derek had prior to the game. Let's just focus on the task at hand. For some, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Let's go for the conference championship, and later on, we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Well, that's the conversation I had with Chris Godwin, actually, at practice. And he came up to me, and he says, Steve, I am so excited to play in this game. And I said, no, I can tell. I said, you guys are locked in. You're ready to play. I said, Chris, act as if it's the only time you'll ever get there. I said, throw it all out there. I said at one time, don't ever assume you're going back. I said, now, when you're done, you'll work like the devil to get back next year. I said, nothing's guaranteed. Act as if this is the one shot you have. Right? And they played like that. They acted as if it was the shot, and they took it. It's a championship game. It is different. For example, in my career, I've announced, two Atlantic 10 championship games, a Big Ten basketball championship game, and I've announced two NIT championship games. All right? They're different than, and now obviously now a Big Ten football championship game. Now, I've announced Big Ten football championships, obviously. But the game where, at the end of the finality of it, it's just a completely different deal. So how does everybody feel about how this played out? All right. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in with, I'd love to hear what you think about how it played out, about the championship, about the fact that they're fifth. That was one of the greatest face-saving moves ever, and Jack Ham predicted it. Jack and I were walking over Friday to Lucas Oil Stadium and just chit-chatting about a variety of things. And he said, you know, they win. He says, you know what they're going to do? He says, what they'll do is, to save face, they'll put Penn State fifth and have them in front of Michigan saying, well, see, we put the conference champion ahead of them. Where it doesn't matter if you finished fifth or you finished 10th. It's irrelevant, okay? If you're not four, okay, and not in the playoff, they can rank you any way they want, save face, because Michigan was going to go to the Orange Bowl and the Penn State-Wisconsin winner was going to the Rose Bowl. So it doesn't matter where you end up being ranked. So you save face and you rank fifth. See what I'm saying here? And that's the difference. Because I'll be honest with you. If Penn State were to play Washington, they would beat them by 10 to 14 points. I've watched Washington now three times, and all three times, there is not one facet of Washington that blows me away. None. I like the running game. It's better than I thought it would. Browning does not blow me away. Just doesn't. And defensively, they're okay. I think the whole league is okay. I think they're non. They also made a bad statement about the non-conference schedule, but this is how they played it safe. Alabama, no losses. Obvious. Ohio State, one loss. Clemson, one loss. Washington, one loss. Now, on that part, you cannot argue with them at all on that part. You can't. But I think if Penn State were to play Washington, I think they'd beat them by 10 to 14. Dick from Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to congratulate Coach Franklin and staff and the players on their championship. I mean, I figured this was how this was going to turn out as far as the playoffs, but, you know, a coach, you know, it just happens.
I think we all expected that this is how it would turn out. So nobody is surprised as to how this played out. So you're absolutely right. I don't think anybody's really surprised by it. But I think the interesting part to me is this, is that I truly believe that the best team in the Pac-12 is going to be playing the best team in the Big Ten in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, USC.
You're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm sorry.
USC beat Washington. Penn State beat Ohio State. The best team in the Big Ten is going to be playing the best team in the Pac-12 in the Rose Bowl.
Well, my scenario is if we beat Southern Cal and then Ohio State, which I'm not wild about, beats Alabama, and we're the only team that beat Ohio State then this year. I'm hoping that turns out. We'll see.
We'll see about that. I mean, part of it with me is personal. I mean, I'm good friends, for example, with Paul Keels and Skip Mossick and Jim Lachey from the Ohio State Network. So I always kind of think of those relationships when I see games that are allegedly neutral games like that.
Yep.
So it does make that, I mean, that actually makes a little bit of a difference in my rooting interest in the game.
I wanted to leave you with this, and I won't hold you up because you might. But my buddies went to Indianapolis. The guys I have wrestling tickets and made it back for the match yesterday. But the one of my friends went to the hockey match on Friday night, Indianapolis on Saturday night, and Bryce Jordan on Sunday. All three events.
Wow.
He might be the only guy. He might be the only Penn State fan that made all three events this weekend.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Doing two of them is a lot.
Well, I understand that. Well, they were out there in Indianapolis and they celebrated. They left immediately and got back to Pittsburgh area and slept a couple hours. And they got to Bryce Jordan about 11:45 yesterday.
A police escort somewhere, I would think.
I'm not going to tell you how they drove. I thought they made it back to Pittsburgh to sleep. So, you know. But could you imagine? Could you imagine Friday night hockey, Saturday football at Penn State, at Indianapolis, and at noon yesterday wrestling?
I mean, I had a charter that got me back in time for noon. I even thought that was difficult.
You can chalk that up and made it back to Watsontown Turberville after the wrestling match. So that's a long weekend.
That is a long weekend. That's awesome.
So he might be the only guy anywhere that saw all three live. Just telling you.
That's amazing.
The other guys only saw two. They only saw the football game and the wrestling match. But he actually saw all three.
Holy mackerel. That's amazing. Dick.
He's a super fan.
He's a super fan.
He's a super fan for this weekend. I'll leave it go at that. Hey, here we go. Moving on to Southern Cal.
On to USC. Yeah, okay. Dick, thanks so much. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. It's 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to be with you. 1-800-795-9565. What did you think of the game and the title the other night? The emotion in the building was incredible. It was like being a part of a four-hour passion play as to how this played out. And when the Penn State Avalanche began, the crowd, it was about a 60-40 split in favor of Penn State. The crowd was so into what was going on. It was remarkable. So, but Ohio State's in. And again, you know, they went the safe route. Now, I will freely admit, I think Ohio State, if they were to play Alabama, I actually think I would give them better than a puncher's chance against Alabama. I think Ohio State's got a lot of great athletes, and they can match Alabama athlete for athlete. The Clemson thing doesn't mean much. The fact that once again, there's a lot of saving face in this ranking. Alabama is an obvious number one. So Clemson wins its conference championship, so in a face-saving mode, they flip Clemson to 2. That's what they did. All that means is that Ohio State now wears white jerseys in the Fiesta Bowl instead of scarlet. Simple. So they do that. That's symbolic. Okay, that meant nothing. And then you have what they did with Penn State. We'll put them in front of Michigan. In a stunning move, Jim Harbaugh was a no-show today on the Orange Bowl teleconference. Just, how do you do these things? He is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
He averages maybe, what, 3-4 years per team, it just kind of makes you wonder. I mean, Urban versus Harbaugh is awesome, not just for the Big Ten, but for college football, period. Guaranteed we see that once a year, but it just kind of makes you wonder, are the Michigan faithful, are some of them going to grow tired of this, and will it cause an avalanche, and maybe 2-3 years down the road, depending on record, of course, will they get another coach?
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of a lot. I mean, that's looking down a little further down the road toward 2020, but
sure.
It just kind of makes you wonder.
Well, we're going to have today Matt Leon talk about the Eagles' performance, if you could call it that. And Frank Bodani, York Daily Record at 4:06 today. And I want to hear from people. What do you think about how it played out? What do you think of the game itself? The Big Ten Championship, how the college football playoff played out, and about the Rose Bowl. What do you think about all of that? 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Oh, and we will have Nathan Davis at 3:35 today, since Bucknell plays in Connecticut tomorrow night.
That's right.
Yes. So, full boat.
There you go. A lot going on today. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. A Big Ten championship. I don't want the championship games to have to be thought of in a lesser way. A Big Ten football championship is one of the signature championships in sports, and Penn State won it. In the end, they don't get into the playoff. That's why you're hearing a lot of talk about 5+3. What is 5+3? Well, obviously, 5+3 would be an expansion to an 8-team playoff. And 5+3 would be this. The five conference champions would then be out there and automatically in with three at-large teams. So in other words, who would be in? If they had gone 5+3, who would be in? Alabama, Clemson, Washington, Penn State, and Oklahoma would be the five teams that would have automatic bids in. Now you would go at large, which would give them the opportunity, if they wished, to put Ohio State in, which obviously they would be one that would be in. Michigan, quite possibly. And then there'd be a real fight for that eighth spot as an at-large team. There's a lot of people talking about 5+3. What do you think of that idea? Now, it does expand that. Now, look, there's always unintended consequences, too, with every idea. So what do you think of that idea and the possibility of it? Jim Harbaugh, Orange Bowl teleconference. No show. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Nathan Davis next half hour. Then more football talk.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, because they find the right insurance at the right price. You want to have a great relationship with your insurance agent? And they do a great job at Purdy Insurance. They're the people I trust. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history. And then Nathan Davis in just a few moments. At Pitt, numerals were used for the first time in uniforms worn by college players. In 1970, the Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe Trophy, and the Bill Masterson Trophy were stolen from the NHL Hall of Fame. Eventually, the suit put them back. 1973, Ron Santo became the first major league player to veto a trade. 1978, Pete Rose signed with the Phillies, $3.2 million for 4 years, making him the highest paid athlete in team sports. And that is this day in sports history. Now, before we get to Nathan Davis, all right, this is a suit moment that is going to make the suit green with envy. Guess who the grand marshals are for the Rose Parade, and thus will then be tossing the coin before the game of the Rose Bowl? Greg Louganis, Janet Evans, and Allison Felix.
Ah, gold medalists all around.
Three Olympians, three all-timers. They'll be doing that. And now the suit will want to be a spotter for the game. And we'll see if USC needs somebody. All right, let's bring in Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Coach, welcome. It is always great to hear you on the other end.
Thanks. I appreciate you for having me on once again.
All right. 6-3 at this stage, and I'll just start with the general question, the same question I asked you to start last week. You got a tough one with LaSalle, obviously, but what do you like about the direction of the team at the moment?
I think it's still really, the same thing. I think that we've got a good mentality about us. I think the chemistry is very good, and the guys want to be good. So I think all that leads to opportunity to continue getting better as we move forward.
I know Dick Girardi has seen LaSalle play a couple of times. He's impressed with a couple of things. What were a couple of the roadblocks in that game?
Well, I think, first off, they're so offensively talented with guys who can get to the rim and guys who can really shoot the ball that presents a challenge. And then when they're focused and locked in defensively, they're long and athletic, and they can disrupt some things that way.
Okay, now you got Fairfield coming up. What are a couple of points of emphasis as you get ready for that one?
Well, Fairfield, much like LaSalle in some ways, has really dynamic scores. They're very good offensively. They seem to make the right reads all the time. So getting back in transition to make them have to guard, make them have to score against us 5-on-5, and then doing a good job of sustaining our defense and doing it right to make them have to take tough shots will be the absolute most important things.
You are what, let's say, 4-0. I got you 5-0 this year when you hold a team under 70 points. So what are some areas of defense that you like? How important has that been to your winning efforts?
Well, I think the thing I like is that we compete and we try. I think really with LaSalle, a lot of it came down to some of our defensive issues came from offense with some bad turnovers that led to runouts, and that really kind of turned the game, got really LaSalle going. I thought in the first half, you look at it, and they scored 42 points, but they had to earn those points. And we were scoring. And then we started turning the ball over. They got easy bats, started feeling good about themselves, and that translated to their defensive effort. But I think the effort we give, I think we've had good attention to detail. I think we've done a pretty good job of contesting shots. Now, clearly, we've got to do a much better job still on the three-point line. I mean, if you look at the six games we won, team is shooting 33% from three on us. We're making more free throws almost than our opponents take in those games. So we have a good assist turnover. So all those things that you look at that are important we've been doing, we got to do that more consistently against everybody.
Do you like the pace that you're playing at right now?
Yes and no. I would like to get a little more tempo going and go a little quicker. I think we could get a few more easy shots that way. But I think in the half court, we've done a good job of not settling and making people guard us to get shots we want. So, yes and no.
Okay, then how much of it has been the opponent taking away your pace, and how much has it been your own players taking away the pace?
I think it's like most things, it's a combination of both. Some teams are clearly sending multiple guys back, trying to slow us down and making that a big emphasis. But I still think even with that, there's times where if we would run more consistently, that we would get more opportunities to score. If you just do it occasionally, you don't get the chances. You got to run the four hard every single time, hoping to get four or five opportunities. I don't know that we're doing it every time, and so we've limited the number of chances we get out. We have to get out and get those easy baskets.
Nathan, how's your floor balance been?
It's been good. No coach, you're never happy if it's not just perfect, but I think that we've done a pretty good job in transition. Not great, but certainly better than a year ago. And it's something that we will be working on hard this afternoon.
Exactly. In practice, what's the bigger point of emphasis for you in practice right now, your defense or your offense?
It's honestly, it's a little bit of both. I don't think you can focus on one thing or the other completely and ignore Norm. So really a lot of our offensive focus here, and really the last 2 weeks, because we've been playing so much and needing to try to rest up and things like that, has been a lot of unguarded things, trying to get shots out of things we're doing as opposed to really trying to read screens and go against the defense. So it's been a little bit of both. But I would say we probably are like 65% defense, 35% offense most days.
Right. That's what I was looking for right there at the end. You played so many games. What has that done to the practice routine and the points of emphasis you can make in a practice as opposed to just going shoot around to shoot around?
Well, we honestly, since the first game of Manhattan, I think we've only really had three full contact live go practices in about a 2 week period.
But
it takes a toll because you got guys that are playing 30 minutes a game. You got travel mixed in there. You have back to back games. You have three games in 5 days. You've got guys getting ready here. I mean, Bucknell's not like a lot of schools where the classes here are real. We've got guys like Zach Thomas, who's a biomedical engineer. I mean, his day's pretty full and draining mentally. So trying to find that balance where we're fresh, both physically and mentally prepared, is really one of the most challenging things right now. And I think that, frankly, one of the things I didn't do a good enough job of last week was with the mental side. I thought we really at halftime of the game with LaSalle, we kind of lost it a little bit mentally. And we're just exhausted. I think we tried. Physically, we're trying. But mentally, I just thought we had it. And it goes back to preparation and doing a better job of managing their minds and bodies.
I never have your players on because it would make me feel bad. I mean, there was this old joke when John Urschel was here at Penn State. And you know John's story, 4.0, math genius, now plays for the Ravens. And I mentioned, I said to Jack Ham on the broadcast one time, I said, John Urschel has never had anything except an A. I said, he's a 4.0. I said, you and I combined are 4.0.
I went in the locker room one day last year, and Zach had written something up on the board he was doing in one of the engineering classes, and it could have been Mandarin Chinese.
We sit there, you're like, this can't be happening.
This is way beyond my capability.
Oh, that's what I mean. It's like we combined for 4.0. So
I need a calculator to figure out shooting percentages.
That's exactly right. Oh, we all do. Thank goodness these phones do so many things now. You get to this time, you've done a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. How do you handle like a bus trip? And what's the normal routine to Fairfield, for example, that maybe the fans would not know?
Well, for instance, I mean, a lot of schools where the class schedule is a little more flexible, they'd already be on the road by now. We haven't even practiced yet. So we're waiting for guys to get out of class here. They get out. We have a group that get out at about 4:15 to 4:20 today. They'll get down and we'll do our film and report here at 4:30. Get right on the floor at 5 o'clock and practice. And we're going to go for right about an hour and a half. And then we'll give them about 30 to 40 minutes to shower and get all their treatments and stuff like that. And we'll get on the bus and we'll go. Hopefully be on the road about 7:15. So we should be rolling in around 11:30 tonight, I would think.
What about like,
when we get there?
Okay.
And let them sleep in a little bit, get up and have breakfast and do a shoot around.
Do a shoot around, yeah.
And watch more film, obviously.
And watch more film and more film. Film is invaluable these days. Can you sense how much film your players are watching on their own right now?
You know what? We have with our synergy stuff, we do a good job of that. So we send them a lot of things. They are active in it, so they'll tell me sometimes when they watch some stuff. It's hard to say for certain this time of year, especially with exams coming up, on how much they're really watching. But, I mean, with them between now and the time we start, we'll watch at least an hour of Fairfield with them as a group.
Best of luck against Fairfield. Appreciate the time very much, Coach. Always great talking with you.
Thank you. Look forward to next week.
All right. Same here. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to be with you on this Monday. All right, so what do you think of all this? 1-800-795-9565. The college football playoff, they went with, look, the area where you cannot argue with the college football playoff committee is simple. They took a team with no losses, Alabama, and three teams with one loss apiece, Ohio State, Clemson, and Washington. Everybody else on the list outside of Western Michigan, which has no prayer, has two losses. There's no other one-loss team out there that's left out. They went with no losses, one loss, one loss, one loss. The fifth-ranked team that they have has two losses. The sixth-ranked team has two losses. Seven has two, eight has two, nine has two. Actually, I think what nine? Nine has three, I think. I think they have USC nine, right? Now, the irony is that I firmly believe on this particular day and time that the best team in the Big Ten at this time is going to be playing the best team in the Pac-12 at this time. And they're going to be playing in the Rose Bowl. They're not playing in the college football playoff. But that's at this time. The team I feel badly for in this bowl thing to a point is Wisconsin. And I thought about this, obviously, as a possibility for Penn State, but playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl, I'm sorry, but that is an absolute no-win proposition for Wisconsin. None. They win the game, you're expected to do it. You lose the game, oh boy. And there can't be much motivation playing them. I'm sorry. They do this little mystical show with they've got the group of five and they have to pick somebody out of there and it's Western Michigan. I'm sorry. Okay, this is the litmus test I always use. If Western Michigan were on Penn State's schedule, how excited would you be to go to Beaver Stadium? Okay? That answers the whole question right there. If Western Michigan were on Penn State's non-conference schedule, how excited would you be to go to Beaver Stadium? If Western Michigan were 13-0 coming into Beaver Stadium, how excited would you be to see them in Beaver Stadium? You wouldn't be. You'd be like, oh, brother. 9-3 USC is exponentially more exciting to play than 13-0 Western Michigan. It's just I know they're playing the game. I got it. They're playing the game. Okay, so I understand that. They call it the Boise State factor, but it's not what people want to see. You're not giving people what they want. Admittedly, last year was Houston. And Houston beat Florida State. But I said to Matt LePay of Wisconsin, Matt came over into the booth after the game was over with. You know, he's Matt's always first-class guy. And I said, you know, he's talking about how great Penn State played, how Penn State deserved it. And I said, well, I said, you know, I feel badly for you guys. I said, they're going to stick you in the Cotton Bowl against Western Michigan. I said, you have a no-win proposition. None. You know, I know that the suit's always been for the little guy. The suit's always for the little guy. The suit's all for the little guy. Guess what? Nobody wants to watch the little guy.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of March Madness. It's great you catch a Cinderella team or two win early. But then when you look at the ratings, when they you get into the crux of the tournament, Sweet 16, I mean, I think even the ratings don't lie. You know, people love blue blood versus blue blood.
What is the lowest rated semifinal game in the last 16 years in the NCAA tournament? VCU against Butler. By far, the single lowest rated. Everyone loves Cinderella in the opening round of the NCAA basketball tournament. They do. It's great. Wow, Florida Gulf Coast beat Georgetown. I mean, I was there. I was at the game. You should have heard that building. I mean, I was there covering the game. And it was remarkable. You know, the emotion in the building. But after Cinderella gets one, most people don't want to see him get two because once they go, I don't want to watch them. I want to know, what channel is North Carolina on? Well, it's the same thing here. PJ Fleck has done a great, great job, obviously, at Western Michigan. His odds of getting another job, I mean, he's not going to get the Purdue job because Jeff Brohm got that today, the Western Kentucky coach. Going back to his Big Ten roots a bit, he was a quarterback coach at Illinois in 10 and 11. So Fleck's not going to get that job, but there'll be other jobs that people, I think, will jump on board with. And I think that, but nobody's going to watch. I mean, the Cotton Bowl, the ratings for the Rose Bowl are going to go through the roof. The ratings for the Cotton Bowl are going to stink. In fact, I think the top-rated college football games will be the two semifinals, the Rose Bowl will be third. And there's even a possibility because the Rose Bowl is January 2nd and those games are on the 31st, the Rose Bowl has a chance of surpassing them in the ratings.
Well, you saying
only because of the timing.
Well, you saying the two semifinal games will get good ratings, that without a doubt be music to ESPN's ears.
Right. I mean, they'll get good ratings. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The question is whether the Rose Bowl might get better ratings because, again, in part because of timing. January 2nd is it's New Year's Day. The Rose Parade's that day, so forth. And people have the day off. 31st still brings with it the fact that, you know, we're all going over to the suits to have, you know, to have eggnog. Maybe.
Just got a text from the suit, by the way. It has nothing to do with the Grand Marshals at the Rose Bowl.
Did he misspell resignation?
Actually, just dropped me a line. We got some Bucknell news. Left tackle Julian Davenport has been invited to play in the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama.
Very good.
On January the 28th.
That is really good. Really good. That's the one. That's of all the All-Star games, that's the one you want to play in. That's the one coached by NFL coaches and their staffs. You've got people all over the place all week there. Saquon Barkley has been named the Associated Press Offensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten. James Franklin was named the Associated Press Big Ten Coach of the Year. Barkley was a unanimous All-Big Ten first-team running back. Let's see. Trace McSorley got honored as, was he second team? Where's McSorley here? Trace McSorley and Tyler Davis garnered Associated Press All-Big Ten second-team accolades. So, obviously, JT Barrett would have been first-team, and I would guess it's probably Emmett Carpenter of Minnesota as the first-team kicker. So, there you go. Just a little bit of news to get you up to date with on what's going on there. I mean, there'll be plenty of accolades actually, along the way. The basic feeling is that the committee got it right. And look, when it comes to no loss, one loss, one loss, one loss. Yeah, I mean, again, that part is extremely difficult to argue. All right? That's very difficult to argue in terms of the overall records. But here's where they do send a bad message, and that is with Washington. Washington's non-conference schedule, I mean, do you realize who the home run hitter is on the non-conference schedule for Washington? Like the signature non-conference win? Rutgers.